Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to this edition of Passions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Beverly Mahone, and you know, this is where we've been getting together for the past 2 years. Not necessarily every week, but we've been getting together more often than not every Sunday night to talk about what? Our passions, of course. And it has been my pleasure to talk with you week after week about just about whatever you want to talk about. That relates to your growth, you know, who you are, where you're going in life, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I've actually had some of the guests, I mean, guests that if I only had them on every week, I think I could still have a great show just because they've been, you know, very knowledgeable, very interesting. And, you know, I guess I kind of have to say it. I'm pretty critical when it comes to the kind of flow I like to have for my show, and I don't just necessarily want any old body on my show. So, and it just, and if you didn't get a call during those 2 years, maybe that might mean that, you know, you weren't really supposed to be on my show. I can say that now because I'm down to the end. But anyway, seriously, folks, I've had a great time, and this is my next to last show, and I couldn't end a show without bringing in my special guest slash co-host because he's been absolutely awesome. And we're going to be talking about social media, and this is how we met. So without further ado, I'm just going to bring him right on in so he can kind of like take over and have me shut up. It's Mitch Mitchell. Hey, Mitch, how are you?
Doing good, Beth. Thanks for having me again for your last couple of shows.
Yeah, well, you know, like you've probably, other than, I think, Christopher Stadoulis, the actor from New York, I think you're the only other guest that I've had on more than twice. I've had a few on, you know, that have come on like twice or less. But, you know, three or four times, that means that you really are in the platinum level.
I appreciate that. And
but
make
anyway,
sure you get me on the new show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'll be talking about the new show a little bit later on in this show. But, you know, we met through social media, and that's what we talk about. We, every time we get together, we talk about some aspect of social media. So in staying with what we talk about, let's kind of, like, put it in some perspective here because – I've been talking a lot lately on Facebook about old school things, and today we had this long discussion about the old rotary phones. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we were talking about, well, did your parents have one, and where was it? And I was surprised. There was one young lady on there that said that she remembered her grandmother having one, but she doesn't remember having one, which said, oh, my God, how much times have changed.
Yeah, you start feeling a little old when you start hearing that kind of stuff, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And then one lady said that Facebook is now the new phone book, the new telephone, because
wow.
You can basically call up anybody in a matter of seconds and tell them what you want them to know, ask a question, and you'll get feedback just like that. So let's just start out by asking you, Mitch, what got you interested in doing the online social media, and which site did you start out with?
Well, basically, it's kind of been a progression, I'd probably have to say, and I owe it really all to a guy named Chris Perillo. I'm not sure if you've seen his stuff. He's a longtime internet writer, and he talks about internet things, and he talks about software. And I used to subscribe to the newsletter that his company put out. And this one time they were talking about something called Rise. You remember Rise?
I do, yeah.
And we were talking about Rise, and that Rise was really my first one.
Really?
Yeah.
But you know what? It was mine, too. I'm not going to act like it. Oh, yeah, it was mine, too. And you know what the thing of it is that when I was looking to go onto a social networking site, that's what someone told me. That was the easiest to navigate because people weren't, like, just rambling on with different conversations. It was structured. You put your post out there. Some people might comment. You might never get comments, but at least you had a forum.
You had a forum, and you also had a way to create a new page that you could link to your business. And I found that would work very well because I really wanted to have a way to get more publicity for my business. And this is in 2004. My website was created in 2003, I believe. So, you know, and I started blogging pretty much around the same time, 2004. So it was just the next step.
So then when you got on Rise, because, you know, Rise had those different networking sites. There was the networking, there was the women business owners, there was the black business owners, there was the women masterminding groups. I mean, it was just whatever you were really interested in, you could probably find it somewhere under that Rise umbrella. So where did you navigate your way when you first got there? What sites or what specific groups were you interested in trying to get your message out there?
Well, it's funny because you mentioned the Black Business Group, and that's where I met you.
Yes.
It was a group by Darren Smith.
Yes.
And that was one of the groups. That, you remember that name?
Yes.
Okay. So there was that group. There was a couple of groups that were geared towards small businesses. There was one that was geared towards changing your mindset towards making money. And so those are the groups I initially started with, and I actually started with another group that had something to do with race relations. And, you know, there were some others that I joined that were pretty much already, well, they were already dying out by the time I got there. I don't even know when Rise had started. But I signed up initially for probably 9 to 10 groups so I could get a feel for it. And even for a while there, I created a couple of groups on my own just to have my groups. And, you know, you had a few participants. And it was fun. Some groups got a little more raucous than others. But as you know, you started having it where you've got a group of 100 people and there's only 3 or 4 people ever doing any talking. And that's just too much work. Just too much work.
But, you know, I guess the question becomes, you know, once you get on these sites, you know, you kind of have to feel your way and to see if, in fact, you are, you know, chatting on deaf ears or if someone out there really is following. And what I discovered, you know, like I guess months after or maybe even a year after I started doing the whole social networking, is that there were a lot of lurkers out there, people who weren't necessarily going to comment on anything that you said, but they were at least looking and they were trying to determine alliances, whether or not they really even wanted to connect with you. So I think, you know, I had to feel my way through because I really thought that my message when I first got out there, I was going to change every African-American woman's life over 50. Well, actually, it was over 40 then because I was in my 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I looked to the African-American sites in order to try to spread that message. But they weren't interested in what I had to say. So I had to really find my way. And, you know, talking about African-Americans, and this is another subject I really, you know, want to discuss more of, is African-Americans in social networking versus other groups in social networking, because I do believe that in some ways it is different, and I do believe that in a lot of ways we end up assimilating into the larger group because our voice isn't really out there. Do you agree with that or no?
I'd say that. You know, we can look back to Darren's group, Black Business Network. For a while, it looked like it was ready to take off. They were talking about, you know, finding places where we could meet as a group. Remember, they talked about all of us meeting in Chicago or Atlanta, and I was juiced. I was ready to go. It just really looked like it was going to take off. And then there were a couple of voices who just pretty much started to shut things down. And they took over with a lot of negativity.
Yeah.
And that drove a lot of people away. It drove me away.
It drove me away. I remember
and,
that, yes.
And that's what happens. It's funny because I was thinking about it earlier today when I saw something online. It was a news story, and I'd read about this kid, Justin Berbier, I don't even know how you say his name. And there were these people who are joining groups about how much they hate him. And I thought to myself, I've never joined a group with the purpose of hating something. That just seems so negative. I would never want to be associated with that. You join groups to feel good, not join groups to, you know, to hate. And there are just some people who feed off of hate, and that's not my style. And, you know, it sounds really weird because it sounds like, yeah, you're running away from things. But I don't want to feed off of anybody's hate. You know, I have my opinions on things, and I will debate it a little while, but if it gets over the top or whatever, I'll just drop you and move on. And that's what I did with that group.
Well, you know what social networking kind of reminds me of on a much larger scale? Is remember, I don't know if you were ever a fan club fanatic, but I was when I was younger. And, you know, I was into Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5, and, you know, I had to be in the fan club and the who am I thinking of? Oh, gee, the name escapes me. Bobby Sherman. You know, I was into him. I mean, so now
really?
All of us. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, then I'm not going to sound ashamed when I say that I did join the Barry Manilow fan club.
And David Cassidy. Oh, I loved him. Yes. So,
but I had a reason. So, I mean, other people. There were a couple of ladies I knew who wanted some Barry Manilow stuff, and the only way you could get it was join the Barry Manilow fan club, and I happened to have a checking account, and they didn't. So I went ahead and joined the club, gave them a lot of that stuff, and there you go.
Well,
isn't
and you know
shame?
What? No, it's not a shame, because I was a David Cassidy, Bobby Sherman fanatic, and I had their posters on my wall, and, it was a part of the fan club. So, but now... And I never knew who other fan club members were back then. I mean, unless, you know, in school you might say, oh, girl, did you get your autographed picture from David Cassidy? And then, you know, yeah, I did, you know. But now if you join a fan club, oh, my God, you can know, like, thousands of people everywhere who are also a part of that fan club through social networking, which is incredible.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is that a lot of us like to belong, and it feels so much better when we know some of the other people who are part of what we belong to. And that's really what I think most of us hope that social media is finding like-minded people that we can associate with, whether they're in our own hometown or not.
Well, you know what, I'm also chatting on Twitter as we talk and asking people, the first social networking site they joined. And I just had Amy Scher, who I actually know, who lives in my area, said the first networking site she joined was LinkedIn. Now, I don't think that would have been the first networking site I joined, just because, you know, to me, LinkedIn is one of those deep, you know, you got to have your act together kind of business-minded forums. And you know, at the time when you're really new, how do you know? I mean, how do you flow right in? LinkedIn was the last networking forum I actually joined, just because I really felt I had to have all of my ducks in a row so I could go out and really present myself in such a way that someone would really want to take me seriously.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I joined LinkedIn in 2005. I don't even remember how I heard about it, but I joined up. And back then, there really wasn't a lot you could do. They didn't have the groups like they have now. They had so many restrictions on trying to meet new people. You had to ask for, you know, the introductions. They didn't have it set up. Like now, if you have an email address, you can pretty much add anybody you want to.
That's true.
And, you know, so I joined it. I knew like 13 or 14 people. I couldn't figure out how to go anywhere. I pretty much left it alone for a couple of years. And then probably, well, in 2008, they added the groups, and then they made it easier for you to hook up with other people. And at that point, I really got into it. And I use LinkedIn a lot now. I've met a lot of people. I've connected with a lot of people. But it's something else that gives you an opportunity to kind of tell people what you're doing in your business or even in your personal life. You know, they give you 120 characters that you can update as often as you want to. And so I try to say if there's something going on in business or I had a good business day, I go over there and I just pop in my little something. And the thing about it is that all the people who follow you once a week, they get that email, you know, the LinkedIn messages. It tells you what everyone has done for the week. So everyone who follows me sees what I've been doing for the week.
Oh, and see, and you know what? I haven't been able to navigate it to such a way that I even get any of that. I don't even know. I'm still working on LinkedIn. I'm more active than I had been in the past,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still not anywhere near where I probably ought to be as a businesswoman. Of all of the sites that you are on right now, which one is your least favorite?
Well, the one that was my
least
favorite.
Or that you've been on.
Is...
I shouldn't say right now,
yeah.
but that you've been on.
Ning, N-I-N-G,
oh.
That was my least favorite, and now they're going to a paid model. And I'm glad because now I have a good, great reason not to ever go back.
Now, why didn't you like Ning?
You know, I was invited by a guy who I actually met on, well, I met him on Rise, and then maybe that's where I heard about LinkedIn, through him. And he was very big on LinkedIn. And he was always promoting it, and then something happened between him and the LinkedIn people, and he got mad, and he moved to Ning. And he started creating all these groups, and he started inviting all these people. And so, he invited me, and I went, and I signed up for all these groups. And in probably the 2 or 3 years that I was a member of Ning, I think I talked to 3 people, and each one of them was just one message. People didn't respond to things. And I don't think any of those people really knew what to do with it. And the guy who had invited me, he spent a lot of time expanding. He would throw out a topic on all these different things, but he spent a lot more time expanding rather than trying to engage people. And so, you know, you would put something out to someone and no one would ever respond. And it was cumbersome. It was much harder than Rise to figure out how to navigate. And
okay.
I absolutely hated that.
And you know what, I actually had a Ning site. I set up a media Ning site. I think it was called Your Time to Shine or Media Buzz or something. And, invited people to join, which, you know, a good many people joined. But you're right, I really didn't get any engaging conversation. And, I said, okay, this is really much harder than I need it to be. So I just kind of stopped. I mean, I put a lot of good information out there. The information is still there, I guess, unless they decide to take it down, you know, once they go to the free site. I mean, to the paid site. But I just, you know, I don't know. I think that, you know, maybe people weren't really looking to be engaging. They just wanted the information, and that's it. So they got it, and, you know.
And that was that, yeah.
So,
well, I'm going to tell you something, and there's a story here. There will be a reason why I'm telling this, and just go with me. I just created a business advertising page on Facebook. Some people call them fan pages,
mm-hmm.
but Facebook doesn't call them that anymore. And one of the things that I'm sure you see is that you will sign on to Facebook, and you see all these things that say page requested, or, you know, all these pages that people go to. And so you click on it, and you see, okay, we recommend this page, and you see all of this. And most of the time, those are people who created their own pages, and now they're trying to recruit everybody else, you know, that kind of advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, one, I don't usually like that. So I wasn't doing that. So what I did instead is I created the page. I had to find out how to, add stuff to it, make it at least look like it was something. And then I just wrote on my wall. Yeah, because I created it and said, okay, what do I do now? So I asked a lady named Shirley George Frazier, who's very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
One of these days you'll have to track her down.
I remember her name from the Rise site, yes.
Yep. Well, she's very knowledgeable, and she's someone who, she's just into all this stuff. So I asked her, okay, how do I flesh this out? She told me. So what I did is I just went to the wall, said, hey, I just created a Facebook business advertising page. Check it out if you'd like to, and I put the link there. And I created it Friday night, and I already had 14 people sign up. I didn't go out and recruit any of them. No one can say they got, any special message. People who obviously are the friends of yours see it on their wall. But I think that that's a better way to go than for me to, my psyche said, if I send this out and invite these people, and one, they don't join, or two, they don't even acknowledge that they got it, my feelings could get hurt. But if I just put it on my wall, then it's kind of random. You don't know who's going to see it and whatever, and I feel good about that.
Oh,
so,
my God.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, so one of my friends said, well, you didn't do it to business, but you weren't thinking about it as a business, because a business, you just put it all out there for everybody. I said, well, the thing is, Facebook isn't directly for business. If it was LinkedIn, maybe I'd have done it differently. But Facebook, a lot of people who you set up as your friends are not business. And so I didn't want to, blast everybody.
Right. Well,
so,
now,
there you go.
I'm just looking in the chat room. I've asked the question in the chat room about which social networking site, you decided to join first, and one person has commented and said that they chose IC Color, and that is because they were invited by a friend. Now, you know what? I have actually heard Michael Basden, I believe, the Radio 1 talk show host, actually talking about that particular social networking site on his radio show. Now, I'm not sure how old this person is, and I'm not certainly going to put this person on the spot, but I do thank you for your comment. But that does not seem like a site that I would want to be on because, knowing and having listened to the Michael Basden show and knowing the kind of personality that he is and the things he talks about, that, to me, would ruin my reputation as a business person. No, I'm serious. And let me tell you something. I think I've shared this a few times, but my husband and I actually met through a social networking site, Black Planet. Now,
I remember Black Planet.
Yes. Now, for those people who knew Black Planet maybe 5 or 6 years ago, you would think, oh, my God, what kind of woman is she? Because there was a lot of interesting things coming from Black Planet. So you have to be careful, I think, what sites you choose. Now, if you're strictly there for social, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But if you are really there to do business and you get caught up in conversations that may go in some really interesting directions, then you need to really be mindful of what social networking sites you will be a part of, because as we now know, the Library of Congress just announced this week that they are going to archive every tweet that's ever been on Twitter. So if
they just need to stop.
So if you put some tweets out there, that you really wish you hadn't, it's going to be archived, and that's, just not a good thing to me. But I just I'm reading on Twitter where Facebook is getting ready to put ads. Facebook will this week launch ads based on a user's browser history. Are you aware of this?
Yeah, I heard about that.
So now explain it. What does this mean?
Well, what happens is that most of these websites you visit have these things that are called cookies, and they drop these cookies on your computer, and we don't ask for it. Depending on what browser, like Firefox, you can block cookies, and basically what that means is that if you saved any information, the next time you go, that information won't be there again. but still while you're there, they'll have these cookies. And there's this file that's created on your computer. It used to be called cookies.txt. It may still be called that. And it basically tracks all the websites you go to. And it grows as you add more websites to it. And it used to be the thing back in the day where when you knew better, you went in and you cleared out that cookies folder, you know, file every time. You could delete it. It's going to start another one, but at least you could delete that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have these ways of tracking you. Google does the same thing. And so they're going to try to see places that you've been, their algorithm, and then they're going to try to target stuff at you. I personally hate that kind of thing. But the alternative is loading software that will slow your system down and do all this stuff. It'll block you, but you don't, you know, if you're going everywhere, you don't really want to use it all the time.
Okay. So now what do you, I just had another person on Twitter, Love Jones, said, oh, and by the way, before I do that, let me go back and thank our person in the chat room who did offer her comments about the future talk show host who offered her comments about which website she joined, or not which website, but actually which site she connected with first. And then Love Jones in the chat room said that her least favorite site is MySpace. Now, you know, MySpace was my second site that I actually joined after Rise. And I actually got a lot out of MySpace in the beginning. I mean, I was pushing my book. You know, it wasn't really published yet, but I was kind of putting, like, information out there. I was directing people to my blogs. I was starting to get an increase in traffic. And so I did enjoy MySpace. But then something happened. I don't know. I just felt like I was just getting spammed a lot on MySpace. So I stopped going there, and I haven't been to MySpace in a very, very long time. Now, are you on MySpace?
Oh, Lord, no. hated MySpace.
Did you?
I hated MySpace for the same reason that I hated Black Planet. It was one of those kind of things where, two reasons. One, most of the pages were really ugly. Oh, people just slapdashed whatever they wanted to on a page and mixed all these colors, and it just freaked me out. And two, the music would start playing.
Yes, yes.
And
yeah.
I couldn't stand, most of the sites, I couldn't stand the music.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Jackson 5 music had started playing if I'd have been happy. I'd never found Jackson 5 music coming from a site that I visited. But at a certain point, if I saw MySpace as someone's website, I wouldn't go. I said, nope, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, that was really bad because, you know, and this is another thing about websites, too, and I learned this lesson as well, is that, you know, someone who was doing a critique of an old site that I had said, you know, Beverly, at least give me the option as to whether or not I want to hear music on your site. Don't just let me come to your site and all of a sudden you've got some music that, first of all, I may not even know what it is, and then it's blaring, and then I can't even concentrate on what it is I'm looking for because this music. And I thought about that, and I said, that does make sense. So then I ended up, you know, putting a button, you know, if you wanted to hear this song, because it was Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and I was, you know, talking about our girlfriend's retreat at the time. So if you wanted to hear that, you know, and get in a groove, then you could click it on. Otherwise, you just, you know, scroll through the website and find whatever it is you were looking for. But I don't see much of that anymore. There are specific sites that I know who do it. So if I want to, you know, like hear some music, you know, somewhere, I know what sites to go to because I'm guaranteed that they're going to have a song on their site, and I don't mind listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the other things is that, you know, think about it. When MySpace came out and all those people had that music, we didn't really have the fastest of internet connections. And so stuff would just slow down. You know, I was on Time Warner Cable, which, you know, was faster than the norm, except back then it was still only getting maybe 2 or 3 megabytes, you know, of speed. And so it was still relatively slow. That was one of the issues with a lot of things like flash on sites and whatever, is that we didn't have the kind of speed that we have now. I mean, now I'm at 20 megabytes, you know, per second. I'm kind of cruising, so I could pull all kind of stuff. But at the time, it just shut things down. And, you know, one of the things that we're taught as business people who do SEO is that if a person can't load your site, you know, relatively fast, and that's usually within 10 seconds, they're not going to stay.
Right. Exactly. So let me ask you, Mitch, do you have more male followers or female followers? Have you really even thought about it? And if you have and you know what the numbers are, why do you think it's skewed that way?
Actually, well, it depends on what we're talking about. And I'll put it this way. My blog, my business blog is mainly men. My finance blog is mainly men. My I'm Just Sharing blog is pretty equal, but more men comment than women. My newsletters are both mainly women.
Hmm.
So why? I don't really know why. Well, I do the blog. The blog thing I do because now there are more guys who are blogging than women. I think we talked about that last time that I was on your show. So the blogging makes sense, but the newsletter is interesting because there's people like, oh, my goodness, some of the big salespeople, big names, whatever, where it's mainly men who are subscribing. But for me, it's mainly women. I don't
now
mind
that's
that.
Very interesting. But but you know what? I think that there is something to be said about women and newsletters. You know, women will take the time to read a newsletter because, you know, it is packed with information, and it's probably information, some news they can use. And because, you know, I don't have any male subscribers to my newsletter. I have none, and which is really, really interesting because I have hundreds of subscribers, but I don't have any men. And,
well,
but men
you
would
gear
not.
Yourself towards women. I mean,
yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, you get baby boomer diva. That doesn't necessarily, you know, engender a lot of men to say, "Oh, I want to be a baby boomer diva," you know?
Well, you. Yeah, so it's the message. But what is interesting, though, I will say this. I don't have any male subscribers when it comes to the newsletter, but I have quite a few male followers on both Facebook and Twitter. Now, I wondered about that. Now, I know you say that the message is out there that I put out there for baby boomer women, but I think it's another thing, too. And you tell me why you – well, you follow me. So why do you follow me? You're a man.
Because I met you.
Okay.
Simply because I know you. And so I know how fascinating your stuff is, but if I didn't know you – and I just happened to come across it, I probably wouldn't subscribe because I wouldn't think it was geared towards me.
Okay. So you think, okay. So you would not be interested. So you're saying that if you take the time, to get to know the person, whether they're male or female, then you make a decision as to whether or not, you know.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm throwing out names today, no big deal. But there's this lady I met on Rise years ago named Denise Michaels.
Yeah.
And I met her
when
I went out to Las Vegas, met her and her now husband. And very nice people. They treated me nice, drove me around the city, and did all this stuff. Great, you know, very nice people. And she gears herself as marketing for women. That's her business. Yeah. She wrote her book on it called Testosterone Free Marketing.
That's right.
She does all this stuff towards women.
Yes.
And she used to have this group on Rise where there were men and there were women. And one time I, you know, made a comment on something. And she wrote and said, well, no, I don't want to go that way because I really only want to talk to women. And somewhat, I said, well, okay, that's somewhat offensive. Wasn't necessarily happy about that. So I dropped the group because I said, well, okay, you basically are now saying that just because I'm a man, I don't have anything I can share. Now, still like Denise, I understand the whole thing, but I thought that, you know, it was a group where if you had something to share, that you should be able to share it regardless. And that wasn't what she wanted as a focus. So I said, okay, you know what, don't want my opinion, I'll take it
elsewhere. But you know what, let me tell you something, and I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. This is my next to last show, so I can just say it. You know, she was like that not just with men. I mean, there were times when people would come out and post something that would not fall in the flow of the day. Like, you know, if Tuesday was, let's talk about divorce day or whatever. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. And if you came on Tuesday and you wanted to pitch your product, you could be reprimanded for it. So, you know, she ran a tight ship with that. And I don't think it was necessarily directed at you specifically. I think it was just directed at anybody that, you know, went outside the realm of what she was trying to do.
Well, it could be, but she wrote me a private message saying it.
Yes, and she will write you a private. Yeah, she'll write you a private message. Now she won't blast you out, you know, in public. But yeah, she did that to me too a couple of times. So you know, I understand her. But I do want to comment on what Future talks to Chick. When we were talking about the music and, you know, about, the, you know, the fact that you don't want to go on somebody's site and all of a sudden the music is there and, you know, you don't necessarily want to hear that. And she says, well, you know, what you can do is just turn your speakers down. And she just believes that you can accomplish spectacular things in life if you adjust your thinking or your thing to satisfy others. And that's a really good point. You really can't. I mean, you know, I think. Go ahead.
It goes back to what your purpose is. Okay, I mean, I'm a business. I mean, just say, I'm a business. Now, I want customers. I want clients. But every time they visit, my site is pink and green and purple, and they're getting blasted with music by Megadeth. Now, I might like all those colors, and I might like that music, but I also want my customers. Am I going to say, well, you know what, any customers I have are just going to have to get used to that from me and potentially not have any customers because when you think about it, you're not getting a whole lot of 15 to 20-year-olds walking in the door with a lot of money to use you.
Right.
So do I say, okay, forget everybody else because this is what I want to hear regardless, or do you say, you know what, I need to temper myself towards my business clientele, the types of people that I want. And, yes, you can still have some personal stuff here and there, but there's just certain things you don't do if you want to be business. If you don't, and that was my thing with MySpace, I thought that most of the people who were there were kids, and there were some older, you know, older people there than kids, obviously, but most of it was personal. It wasn't really a business site. And,
Let me ask you this. If you are an entertainer, if you are a musician, if you are a comedian, I mean, for example, and I click on your site or you click on my site, should you not hear a sample of my music or a sample of a joke I'm going to tell you because I am about business and I might want you to hire me?
Ah, but see, that's not necessarily a business site anymore. That's a publicity or a promotional site. I guess I'm making a distinction.
Okay.
Between what you and I would do and what Mariah Carey or Sade might do.
Gotcha.
You know, I mean, I go to Mariah Carey's site. I want to see Mariah Carey. I want to hear Mariah Carey music. But I know I'm doing that. If I'm a wedding singer and I'm promoting wedding singing, then I want people to come to the site and I want them to see my picture and I want them to hear my music so that maybe they'll consider me to sing at their wedding. But if I'm consulting in healthcare finance, I don't want someone coming to the site hearing this music and saying, well, what the heck is this?
Right. Okay.
You know, it's just
okay.
Not going to go over.
Okay. Well, you know, there is a guy, this is just a little bit off the subject, but there is a guy, his name is Davey Lindbergh, and I'm giving a shout out because he's been on my show before. He plays elevator music. That's what I call it. It's the most soothing, calming music. And sometimes, when I first, discovered him, and what he did, sometimes I would just go to his site to listen to his music because it was so nice and mellow. And I was like, oh, this sounds so good. And, he isn't necessarily promoting his music on his website, but, if you read it, it's his music. And
mm-hmm.
I don't personally think there's anything wrong with that because, like I said, his music isn't blaring. It's elevator music. It's very nice, very soothing. And it's not in your face. Let's put it that way. It's not in your face.
Right.
So we're just right on the roll here. I'm so glad you're coming back next week because we got so much more to talk about. And I'm going to take some questions from folks to see next week, what kinds of things that they would like answered so we can, be a little more focused in what we're talking about here because right now we're just chatting away. But let me ask you, do you think that you can be on too many sites?
No.
Oh,
and I'll qualify that by saying that I don't believe you can give the dedication to a bunch of sites and still be effective. But I believe that the more sites you're on, actually the better it is for your SEO.
Oh.
Because you have all these different links coming from all these different sites back to your normal website. So that's a good thing. But, do you have enough time to really dedicate something to all of these sites? I mean, at a certain point, everyone realizes, I've signed up for 10 sites, but I only go to one. So you may think, well, what's the point? Well, you've at least gotten your links out there, and you just might get contacted by some of those people here and there. And that's not a bad thing. But if you're not ever going to go back to something, then you might feel like, okay, I just kind of wasted my time doing that.
So you don't think that, I'm trying to think how many sites I'm on right now that I'm really active. I think that I used to be really, really active on Twitter, and then I kind of scaled back and really got into Facebook, and now I'm just having a good old time on Facebook and really loving it. So I guess the next progression really is to probably just go on over to LinkedIn, suck it up, and get over there because I have a big project coming up in October, a business
mm-hmm.
project. So, I mean, it would behoove me to really get into LinkedIn so that the business people over there will know what I'm, doing, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm doing this webinar. I'm doing a workshop and a webinar on May 6th and 7th.
Right.
And I've been able to put it up on Facebook, and I've been able to put it up on LinkedIn, and I can shoot out my link on Twitter as many times as I want to. I haven't gotten a rise yet, but I'm going to go there and put something up there. And, it just says that I have now so many outlets that give me an opportunity to promote it. And that's when it's good for you because you now have all these different outlets. And if you have enough people who are watching all these different places, it helps to get the word out.
So then does social media, in your opinion, replace advertising as we know it, or does it enhance it?
It enhances it. And
so you're saying then that we should still be advertising, spending some money, and advertising somewhere.
Yeah, and I say that with hesitation because I think that you have to be very judgmental in how you're spending your dollar and not allowing certain outlets that have their rules to run how you do it. And I'll tell you what I mean. We're running an ad. I'm doing this workshop and these webinars with someone else. And we're going to run a one-week ad in one of the local newspapers, not the main newspaper, but we're going to run a one-week ad. And we're running it 2 weeks before the event. And it's like a half-page ad. And we're doing that, and they're allowing us to just pay for just the one ad. and that's a good thing. Most of them want us to pay for basically 5 weeks' worth. Well, at this point, paying for 5 weeks means the ad will be running after the event. That does me no good. And they're also charging, you know, they want to charge upwards of $1,000 to say, well, it's only $200 a week. Well, no, because I don't need 5 weeks' worth. So it basically says, okay, I guess we just forget that one. Now, my friend who has paid for other advertising, and I wish she'd known me at the time before she did it, has paid a lot of money for stuff that didn't work and had people telling her, oh, but look, it did this, it did this, it did this, it did this. And when she told me that, and I said, okay, so you had 200 page impressions, but that didn't say those people went to your site. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They will,
yeah.
People, sometimes these folks will tell people things that makes it sound like, oh, my God, I did really good. I had 200 impressions. No, that didn't mean 200 people went to your site. And they said it in over 2 million people or the audience. I said, yeah, okay, but so you had 2 million people, you had 200 impressions, but you have no idea if any of those people went to your site. It just popped up when they happened to be on the page. And, oh, by the way, it's possible that they blocked it because I blocked all the ads from that particular website.
Right.
So the impression could have come up for them, but I may have never seen it because I blocked the ads. And she paid a lot of money for that. And that's one of those kinds of things. You know, I gave this presentation in February to a local consultants group that I'm also a member of, just for full disclosure. And one of the things I talked about was how traditional marketing doesn't really work for small businesses. We can only afford to send out so many letters. We can only afford to send out so many flyers or postcards. As an individual, you can try some phone calls, but you can only make so many phone calls.
Right.
And email works pretty well. If you can get your hand on a bunch of email addresses, it can work, you know, okay. But you have to find these other outlets. And that's one of the things that social media allows you to do, and actually websites allow you to do, is that you can get your message out to a larger audience. And in some ways, you can reach more people locally by sending outside your area because that stuff circles back around.
Well, I'm going to have to take the opposite here because, you know, and I worked in the media. I was there more than 25 years, so I really do feel I have a pulse on what goes on there. And I'm going to say that with all of the social media avenues that one has to take advantage of today, there really would be no reason that you would have to advertise locally. Now, I'm going to preface this. Let me say this. I think that if you, and well, let me go back and explain why. Because the research shows and has shown in the past that repetition is what drives home a thought. You say it, you say it, you say it, you say it, and you say it again. Now, with traditional advertising, you know, unless you've got top dollar, and we're talking about thousands of dollars to spend, you're not going to get that repetition. You might get 3 spots in a day, maybe. So then, and then you may not get those 3 spots in any kind of time that the people you're trying to attract would be interested in. So then you spent this money for these ads, and even in a newspaper, and I have to tell you, I promoted an event in the Duke Chronicle, a paper that I read, a paper that is my target audience, no question about it, as far as what we were putting on. I didn't get one person from the Duke Chronicle, and it ran for 3 or 4 consecutive weeks. Nice ad, but I didn't get one person from it. Now, where did the people come from? They came from social media. They came because they saw tweets, and they saw blog posts, and they saw all of these other things that I did for free. They saw a video that I posted on YouTube. I did it for free with the price of a camera. So I think that
You know, if you know how to really work social media and work it effectively, I think that can be the best marketing and best advertising that you can have. You know, it may put some people out of business. It may, put, you know, but
I remember what I said earlier. I did say with reservation.
You did.
You know, so I don't want everyone saying, I don't want anyone thinking that I said, oh, you must do this. I said with reservation. Because one of the things I have found, and, you know, I've lived in this town a long time, and one of the things I have found is that any time there has been something about me in the local newspaper, someone invariably contacts me. Oh, I saw you in the newspaper.
Okay. Now, okay.
And that's what I mean. With something like that, I'm known at least well enough locally so that if I can get something in the newspaper, there are going to be some people who see it who know me. And they're going to tell some other people. That's what I'm saying. You know, everyone it doesn't have kind of that, and that works for me. You know,
but
I've been in the local paper a few times, so that kind of thing helps. Now, will it drive anybody directly? Probably not, but it may pass the word on to some other people. Oh, Mitch is doing something in town. Oh, he is? Oh, let me see what that is. So that has happened, where I've heard from some people who have heard from other people who said, oh, yeah, they saw you in the newspaper. And every time I've been in the newspaper, I learned that from you. It's like, oh, let me send the link out to everybody so they can see I'm in the newspaper.
Right.
So that's what
right.
I'm saying. You know, you know, that if you've got at least a little bit of recognition, and a town like Syracuse, it's easy enough. There's a lot of people who have at least seen my face. So they recognize it. And, hey, you know, I saw that guy. You know, I saw that black guy. Oh, you mean Mitch? Yeah, I saw him. And word gets back. So that's what I'm saying. If you've got some kind of opportunity where you've at least built up something, then some traditional advertising might not hurt you. But if you're out there for the first time and nobody knows who you are, putting an ad in the paper is not really going to help you out any because folks have no clue who you are.
Well, and you know what? And you talked about the whole social, the whole idea of getting into the newspaper and then through that way, you know, the message spreads. Now, that's a very good point because of the fact that you can get, I would rather take my chances at getting free publicity with an article versus paying for something that may or may not pan out for me. So that would definitely be the route I would take, you know, and that comes with press releases and the whole nine yards, and that's a whole other subject, and I'm not, you know, that's my course, and I'm not giving up all that information because then I'd be out of business. But
yeah.
Seriously, if you can get it for free, I just believe that, you know, with people being as smart and as creative as they can be. I saw an ad on YouTube. Well, it was an ad. There's no question about it. It was an ad. But it was so creatively done. It was for it was a book, actually. It was a book. And it was so creatively done. I thought she didn't ever have to, she'll never have to pay one dime. Unless she chooses to, because this one YouTube spot, which was, I think, it might have been a minute long, 60 seconds, could sell her thousands of books. It was funny. I was like, okay, I need to find out where is this book. And it was done by the author. So, you know, if you can do it that way, I do think social media really is the best way to go.
And I'm not disagreeing with it. You know, remember, your question was, do you think you should still do some? And I said, yeah, but with reservation.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, like I said, we're this one spot that we're putting in this one newspaper is costing us $50.
Oh, that's
you know
not
what?
Bad.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're letting us run one thing for $50, and to me, that's worth it. You know, we're going to split the price, so it's $25 a piece. And my name would be on there, her name would be on there, and I know that there's people who know me who are going to see that Doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to sign up, but they're going to know me. And it's a newspaper that I get also, so I said, you know, that's worth it. $25, I can afford that. If they come to me for $200, no, that wasn't happening.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a bit steep, especially, you know, if, you know, you always have to think in terms of getting your return back on the money that you spend. If
yeah.
you don't, if you don't see that you're going to get $200 back in signups or whatever it is, then, you know, that's money that's basically just flown out the window or that you could strike a match to and just literally burn. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So then, okay, so we talked about the number, you know, not you don't you can be on too many sites, but you said no, you don't think so because it's good for the SEO. And I never really thought about that. Even though I just let me ask you about the being on a lot of sites and being on them constantly. Now there is one person on that I'm connected with on Facebook. I don't care what I put out there. I don't care what time of day it is or night. He's always either liking my status or commenting on what I've written. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, does he ever get off of the computer?
Wow.
So,
what a fan.
Oh, so let me ask. Well, I don't even know who the guy is. But anyway, so let me ask you, can he on one site too much? And what is considered too much?
You can be on a site too much if you're not getting anything else done. And that's, I think that's really the only criteria that you deal with. If you're only on one site and you can still do your business, you still interact with your family and you're still making sure you eat, getting everything else done, go for it. I know that you've seen the same thing I have on Twitter, where you see some people who it looks like every time you pop on there, not only are they there, but they're just writing a stream of consciousness. You know, I
yes.
just sat down in the chair. I'm stirring my coffee. I'm getting more sugar. I'm putting in cream. I'm stirring the coffee. I'm getting up to put more cold water in it because it's too hot.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, we both drop those types of people, but that's what they do. And of all things, those people will find an audience who just is fascinated by it. Remember the days, I don't know if they still do this, where they would put cameras in, you know, young women would put cameras in their house, and then people would sign up just to watch them walking around their house?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, it's a different fascination, but there's some people who are fascinated with that on Twitter. So the question says, is it too much? Well, if they've got followers, then that means there's some people who like that. So I guess not.
Well, we're going to continue that conversation for
okay.
next week. Because I did a test, and I'm going to tell you about the test next week. But I did a test. I wanted to find out who would be on Twitter in the wee hours of the morning. So got up in the middle of the night and went right on Twitter, and oh, my God. And I'm wondering, were these people actually just doing tweet later or whatever? Because these are the same people I saw in the morning. But we'll talk more about that next week because time
okay.
is running out. We've been talking about social media, coming down to the wire here with my last couple of shows. I will be moving on to WCOM FM 103.5 in the beautiful town of Carrboro, North Carolina, and I'll be doing a new show called The Boomer Beat, where we're going to mix a little music, old school music. We're going to have the latest in boomer news. And it's going to be a show that's going to entertain and educate. And, yes, it'll be controversial, too. So, you know, I don't stay away from controversy. I don't care. And I've already got my first show already lined up. I'll tell you what that is next week, so you'll be sure to tune in for that debut. Mitch Mitchell, my guru, my friend, I look forward to connecting with you when I move to WCOM. And thank you very much for taking the time out of your schedule to be with me today.
No problem.
And you want to leave any parting comments?
Just be good to each other. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, and on that note, I'm going to say, remember, if you're living without passion, you're simply living in a fog. Good night, everybody.